King Solomon's wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame that the Queen of Sheba had heard. His was a kingdom of tremendous wealth and prosperity, meaning that Solomon the king had properties even throughout the land of Israel. He can testify of having great possessions, greater possessions than all that were before him, even in Jerusalem. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, he pens these words, "I made me great works, I builded me houses, I planted me vineyards, I made me gardens and orchards, I planted trees in them of all kind of fruit." That is why whenever we come to this second chapter of the Song of Solomon, that he mentions in verse 3 the orchard. He speaks in verse 4 of the palace and its banqueting house, while in verse 15 there is mention made of the vineyard. One moment in this wonderful book, we are in the countryside, while the next we're in the city. For you see, King Solomon had extensive knowledge of them all. I want to remind you today that one of the themes in this chapter is that of fellowshipping with Christ our beloved. And that explains the significance, therefore, of these various places that are mentioned. We can know fellowship, child of God, with the Lord in all the different circumstances and in all the different surroundings of our lives, for his presence is everywhere. But believer, remember that we ought to maintain our communion with Christ wherever we are. You see, this world can make the child of God bitter. But how we need to come, as verse 3 exhorts us to sit down even in his presence and to spend time with Christ, for we will be the sweeter as his people, even as we experience the fellowship of our beloved one. When we come to our text, the verse 15, and whenever we compare verse 14 and 15, it seems as though when we first appear at it, when we first look at it, that it is in verse 15, or certainly in a strange place. It seems to be out of place. You see, verse 14 sees the believer in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. In other words, the believer is pictured in his heights with the Lord on the mountaintop, knowing tremendous seasons of blessing even from the Lord. They're enjoying those rich and refreshing seasons of fellowship with Christ. And so whenever we look at verse 15 and then we compare its connection with the verse 14, it seems to be in a strange position. But remember, men and women, that in verse 15 we're in the vineyard. And the vineyard reminds us of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Christ taught us, even in John chapter 15. But remember this specifically, that the vineyard was in the lower slopes of the mountainside. In other words, we're no longer in the heights with the Lord, but we're brought here to life's challenging and life's changing circumstances. And the connection simply is this, that we're being shown here the mundane days of our pilgrimage, when we're no longer in the heights with God, no longer upon the mountaintops, and when our lives perhaps and the circumstances that surround us are more challenging and more difficult. And it is then, child of God, that there can be the spoiling of the vines and the spoiling of our fruitfulness even for God. I believe that the foxes that are mentioned here in this verse 15 of our text refer to sin. I was very struck by something that H.A. Ironside wrote as he commented even upon these verses. And I want to quote to you. He said, "There are the little foxes of vanity, of pride, of envy, of evil speaking, of impurity. Then there are the foxes of carelessness, of neglect of the Bible, of neglect of prayer, of neglect of the fellowship with the people of God. These are the things that spoil the vine, that hinder spiritual growth. And I end my quote there. I want to remind you, men and women, that here in this Song of Solomon, we have that love that Christ has for his church and the love that the church has for Christ. Here in these chapters, we are seeing the relationship that the bride has with the bridegroom, the church has with the Lord Jesus Christ. And surely some of those foxes can be that destroying of our relationship with Christ, that neglect of our relationship with Christ. But also, listen, husband and wife, it can also speak of the fact that there can be a problem in that relationship also, or a problem in any relationships that we may have with others, both inside the assembly, as it were, of God's people, and outside, even in the world also. You see, neglect can cause a once thriving relationship to go into decline, and these can be the little foxes that even are spoken of here in Song of Solomon chapter 2 in the verse 15. Even the littlest sin can cause us to lose out on our fellowship with the Lord and our fruitfulness for him. And I want today to leave, as time permits and the Lord enables, four very simple thoughts, even that are just on the surface here of this text, looking at the spoiling of the vines. I want you to notice, firstly, that we are drawn to consider the denying of sin. The denying of sin. That's how this verse begins. Take. The word take is an imperative. In other words, it is a command direct from the throne of heaven. And that's what the opening words of verse 15 are. They are a command for the Lord. The word take, it literally means to grasp or to seize or to take hold of something like a possession. In other words, the thought is, the picture here is, of restraining the little foxes, of taking the sins, as it were, captive, of preventing them from doing the harm that they would otherwise do within the life, within the congregation, within the community. I want you to notice, too, that it is an immediate command because it is an imperative. In other words, this is something, men and women, child of God, that we ought to do this very day from this time forward. But I want you to notice that in this denying of sin also, that it is a corporate or a congregational command. For I want you to notice, as the verse continues, it says, take us the foxes. One commentator writing upon this put it very rightly whenever he said, the job of catching foxes is teamwork. One partner in the relationship cannot expect the other to do it all, and I end the quote there. Believer, we are all involved in this great work. We are all involved in this work of seeking to restrain or to seize or to prevent sin, even in the place of prayer, even by our lifestyle, even by our encouragement of others to live for the Lord. I want you to notice too that we are to deny sin at the very first signs of sin. Notice there what it says, take us the foxes, underline these words, the little foxes. Whenever they are but small, before they are grown, we must prevent them from the greater harm that they would otherwise do as they grow. And you know, so often, child of God, we're prone to wander through life and excuse or allow the little sins to come into our heart and mind. But oh, if we would but think of the ruinous results that such sins could bring. I'm reminded today of Lot, that man of God whose soul was grieved during his time, even in Sodom. And remember, then we come after the destruction of Sodom, and in Genesis chapter 19 and the verse 20, he says to the Lord, "Let me go to Zoar." Zoar literally means little one. And he makes the excuse that it's only a little one. But I wonder if you ever made the connection between verse 20 of Genesis 19 and verse 30 of Genesis 19. Because if you look it up in the scripture, you'll see there that it's recorded even of Lot that he feared to dwell in Zoar. I want you to underline those words. He said it was just a little one, an insignificant one, but he goes there and he feels to dwell in Zoar. And there's two possible explanations for that, men and women. First of all, he sees that it is a refuge of his own making and perhaps of no real value or worth. But I wonder, is the more significant reason not the fact that he feared it equally, because he saw it was equally as wicked as Sodom, even though it was just a little place? I think that, as it were, is hitting the nail upon the head. Remember how the scripture speaks of just a little folding, even of the hands to sleep. And so our poverty comes as one that travaileth and as an armed man. It might interest you to know that in the book of Proverbs, that verse is repeated twice. It's repeated not only in chapter 6, verses 10 and 11, but also in Proverbs 24, verses 33 to 34. And so, just the little things, men and women, just a little slumber. It was Hudson Taylor who was the man who commenced the China Inland Mission under the help and blessing and guidance of the Lord. He penned these words on these verses: "The enemies may be small, but the mischief done great. Little compromises with the world, disobedience to the still small voice in little things, little indulgences to the flesh, to the neglect of duty." Let me just say to the oversight, listen to the next part. "Little strokes of policy, doing evil in little things that good may come. And the beauty and the fruitfulness of the vine are sacrificed." Aren't those powerful words of Hudson Taylor? What a powerful, powerful warning is found even in that quote. And in conclusion today, speaking of this denying of sin, surely it describes the daily battle that each and every believer is to be engaged in. Paul said, "I die daily. I die daily." And we're to remove those sins, we're to abhor that which is evil and ever cleave to that which is good, removing those sins which would destroy our blossoming love for Christ and our fruitfulness for our God. And we that are Christ, we are to crucify the flesh and the affections and lusts. The denying of sin. But when we look at our text here in verse 15, the penman goes on to give us two further reasons why we ought to deny sin. He's put that truth before us, that command before us, to seize the little foxes of sin. But then he goes on to give us these two reasons. And let's continue on by showing you the first of those reasons, because there is in this verse the description of sin, and it's an animal, and it's in those words, the foxes, the little foxes. You see, the foxes in the Old Testament, they were always spoken of in a negative light. And whenever we see them here, they speak of sin, they speak of the personality of sin. What sin is really like. And I want you to notice, firstly, its activity. It is in the darkness that the fox spoils the vine. And we can surely say today that this is a day of darkness. I don't need to emphasize that to you, child of God. You are well aware of the darkness that there is in our day and generation, a season when iniquity abounds and the love of so many of God's people waxes cold, evil on every hand, and in this darkness. Don't think the devil is idle. Don't think that sin has concluded. No, for in this darkness, like the little foxes, there is the constant activity of evil. You see, the vineyard owner in Israel, he was always on their guard against the foxes. And child of God, listen today, if you take nothing else from this meeting this early afternoon, take this to your heart, that we are to be on our guard against the littlest of sin. Remember what we're told again in the book of Proverbs, what a book it is. Proverbs 4 and verse number 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. But when we go on to consider the fox, not only the personality of activity, but the personality of deceptiveness, the slyness, the deceitfulness, the craftiness that is, if I might use the word, personified or shown even in the fox. You know, I wonder, was that what the Lord Jesus Christ had in mind whenever he spoke to the Pharisees of Herod, and he said, go ye and tell that fox. I don't know if that was what was in the Savior's mind, but I know one sure thing. I would never like to be described by Christ even as a fox, and nor would you, I presume. But there are two things when we come to the Scripture that are spoken of as being deceitful. Remember with me, you can turn it over, Matthew chapter 13 and the verse 22, and you'll see there that it's the record of that wonderful parable, the parable of the sower and the seed, that the Lord Jesus Christ even spoke to the people on that occasion. And he spoke of the seed being sown among the thorns, and it becomes unfruitful due to the deceitfulness of riches. Maybe today I'm speaking to one in the pursuit of riches that's become a little fox. Money makes your world go round. And maybe today it's taken the place where the Lord should be. I want you to notice also that in Hebrews 3 we're just told of sin being deceitful. And sin is that which can so easily get into a life and take control of a life, take control of the heart, take control of the emotions, take control of the thoughts, take control of the activities of an individual and even of a congregation and even of a community. But we notice here not only the activity of the fox and not only the deceptiveness of the fox, but I'm sure many of you already know this, maybe less or so the boys and girls among us. But there is the odor of the fox. A fox leaves a smell. You'll know the fox has been around because it will leave the sickly, musty scent behind it. And you know that's what sin does. It's very interesting that twice in this chapter we have the mention of the fruit being sweet, but here we're speaking now about the fruit being that which is bitter. I want you to notice in verse 3, I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. I want you to notice when you compare verse 13, the fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. And even though that word good is put in by the translators, I believe it's perfectly and rightly put in even to that place, because there's no version of the Scriptures that comes close to the authorized. It surpasses. Never be tempted to any other version. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. You see, there's sweetness where there is fruitfulness of God for God, but there is sourness and there is bitterness where there is sin. For you see, sin, dear child of God, will destroy the sweetness that is found in the believer's life. It makes the believer sour and bitter. And you know, I'm reminded today even of Naomi, because it was sin that made her life bitter. Yes, I know it was the dealings of the Lord and how God had dealt with her, but at the back of it all, it was her sin. It was the fact that she was outside the will of God. It was the fact that her with her late husband, through unbelief, had left a land where God could have kept them, to go to a land where the Lord never intended them to be. And oh, I wonder today, am I speaking to a child of God and you're just on the very threshold of taking a step out of the will of God? You're thinking of going in a direction that the Lord would not have you go. You're thinking of forming an amalgamation that is not of God. And oh, my friend, I would exhort you today before God and remind you that to do that will be sin, and it will bring bitterness, and it will bring a smell with it that will destroy your life and hinder your testimony. The odor of the fox. But you know, the description of sin is also seen here by its progression. Do you notice it in the words of our text? Take us the foxes, the little foxes. You know, sin, the thought here is of multiplying. The thought here is of sin progressing. And it can begin as something so very small, and yet it can progress so quickly, so devastatingly, to such tremendous harm in the life of the congregation. But we're not only to deny sin, as we come back to our text again this afternoon, not only to deny sin because of the description of sin, but I want to conclude our time with you even this morning, around this afternoon, I should say, around the things of God, by showing you the second reason why we are to deny sin. And it's because of the destruction of sin. Oh, the fox seems very cute, doesn't it? Sin's often like that. It seems cute. But it's a viper. And the harm it brings is often devastating. And even though the fox may seem cute and harmless when viewed from a distance, but if it's left unchecked, it will eventually destroy the vineyard. That's the thought here. Christian, this morning, tell me, as we've brought the word before you, it's a challenging word. I often bring an encouragement word, but today there's no other word for this season. I'm sorry, this is the Lord's word. And I wonder, as we've considered these things, can you identify the little problems, the little foxes in your life that are causing problems in your spiritual life? What about your friendships? What about your family relationships? Most of all, what about your relationship to Christ? You see, they were a common nuisance in Israel, these foxes. They threatened the success of the crop. They silently attacked at the night time, as we've already noted. They ravaged the fruit. They burrowed beneath the vines to destroy the root systems. And the farmers, they often camped in the fields in an attempt to protect their crops from their sly creatures' destruction. But Solomon uses one word here. A powerful word with two very powerful pictures in it. It's the word spoil. And I suppose now we're getting to really the theme of our message today, that spoil the vines. And there he's speaking of the destruction that these foxes bring. They're immensely powerful pictures. Let me describe them for you. First of all, it can literally mean to wind tightly or to bind with a rope. In other words, the thought is here of strangling. Of strangling the source of life and of power from the believer or the congregation. That reminds me today of what Isaiah, the evangelical prophet, had to say to the Israel of his day. You can read it in Isaiah 59 when he said, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." And is that not the same thought? Is that not a similar destruction of the power of God being restrained, as it were, of the power being cut off, being strangled? Why? Because of sin. Because of the little foxes. Those nutrients that the vine needs, hindered from coursing through the branches. And the end result is to make them fruitless. My dear friend, I hope I'm not speaking out of turn today. I'm sure I will be told if I have. But that describes our denomination today. Let's take it to heart. There's powerlessness. Talk to those of a bygone generation of God's doings and dealings. And this is a different day. And I believe the little foxes have done their worst. I want you to notice the other picture here. Imagine the sportsmen on the field. Imagine one tackling the other harshly. And one of them is writhing in pain on the field. Writhing in agony. And I don't need to emphasize the picture. You've immediately got it in your mind of someone in great agony. And all the pain and the anguish that sin brings into a family, into a community, into a church. Let me ask you a question today. I wonder, is your sin a cause of anguish and pain in the oversight of this church? Now there's a thought. Oh, what destruction. But I want you to notice our verse goes on here. And it speaks of the fact that the vines have tender grapes. And let me tie these two thoughts together for you if I can. And the thought is here that maybe I'm speaking to one and you're young in the faith. You're simply a babe in Christ. You're tender even in the things of God. And you need to beware of the little foxes. Because those advances you're seeking to make for God and those fruitful things that you're seeking to do in the life to please God, how that those little foxes would hinder you. Oh, beware of them today, being warned of them this afternoon. But those of you who are older in the faith, don't think that we neglect you today either, for we have a word for all. And I'm thinking today of those of you who are older in the faith and you open this book and you come to it there as the mirror of God's word. And as you come to it, you see yourself as God really sees each and every one of us. And we see those things, for I'm included too, that are not right before God and need to be put right even before our Savior and our Redeemer. And then we start to try and put it all right, don't we? We cry to God for help to lead us and to guide us and to guard us and to give us the grace we need to sort this problem out in our lives. And the moment we make a step for God and seek to advance for the Lord, when the grapes are but tender, when there's just the first step on the road to making it right before God, the little foxes will come to try and hinder us growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Redeemer. Our time is really gone. Trust you'll bear with me a moment or two more. Because you see, you might say, boys, this has been a hard word. You've told us all the problems. Well, I hope I haven't told you them all, but if the Lord's speaking to your heart, well, then we leave it with him. But you might well ask the question in closing, is there any help in our daily battle against sin? Is there anything upon which we can rely as we battle the little foxes? Well, let me say there are two things in verses 15 and 16. First of all, I want you to notice there is the defense of the saints. Take us. Have you ever thought of praying like this, child of God? Have you ever thought of taking the youth of this congregation upon your heart and saying, Lord, hedge them around. Keep them. Keep the foxes from them. Don't let their fruitfulness be destroyed. That would be a good prayer to pray. And set them an example that they can follow. And like Paul, you would be able to say, be ye a follower of me, even as I am also of Christ Jesus. There's the defense of the saints, but I want you to notice in verse 16, I want you to notice there's the delighting in the Savior. Look at it there. We haven't time to expand this. My beloved is mine, and I, let's just drop the word am, can we? And I his. It's the same. I am his. My beloved is mine, and I am his. It was C.H. Spurgeon who, I think, penned tremendous words, even on this verse. And he wrote these words on these verses. I quote, endeavor to get as close as you can to the two persons who are mentioned here in my text. In verse 16, namely the king and his spouse. Firstly, keep close to Christ, for he is your life. And next, keep close to his church, for this is your comfort. I wonder today, has the Lord been speaking to a backslider? Do you see the words in verse 16? My beloved is mine and I am his. If you are truly saved, you're the Lord's eternally. Oh, you're not where you should be today. The little foxes have come in. It's spoiling your fruitfulness for God. Those tender grapes of growth that the Lord desires and delights for in your life, it's being destroyed because you're far away from him. I want to tell you today, he loves you with an everlasting love. He longs to renew fellowship with you. He longs to take you up to those heady heights of mountaintop experiences again with him. Tell me, will you go with him? Will you repent of that sin? Will you seek him again? And may God bless even you today in knowing renewed fellowship with the Savior. We won't take the time to sing our closing hymn. Our time is really gone. We thank you for your listening, and we trust the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts. I will go out here to the corner and just greet you as you leave, even. But before we do, let's conclude with a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we pray that thou wilt write thy word upon each and every one of our hearts. Lord, we're prone to wander. Lord, we feel it. Prone to leave the God we love. Give us grace in this week to seize the little foxes, to deal with sin at its very first appearance. Lord, to put it to death and to live for Christ. Lord, help us in those small steps of growing in grace, those small steps of fruitfulness for Christ. Don't let the foxes destroy them, Lord. Don't let us be put off from them. But Lord, give us grace. Give us grace to make little steps, even bigger steps, in our devotion to Christ and in our living for the Savior. Thank you for thy help. Bless us as we go our several ways. Lord, may thy presence be with us in the remainder of thy day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.